Whispering podcast explores the multisensory pathways to connect with the other world, such as listening to messages in owls' hoots, singing to mermaids in a moonlit cove, or knowing what to give a gnome when they come to dinner. I'm Claire Casely, a fairy whisperer and researcher. Take my hand and I'll guide you safely through the enchanted twilight woodland where they are waiting to meet you. If you enjoy this episode and would like to support the show, you can sign up to my Fairy Whisperer patron community or make a one-off donation via Buy Me a Coffee. You can also follow me on Twitter at Fairy Whispering. I also have a YouTube channel, Fairy Whisperer. I hope to see you in one of these places. See links in the notes for the show. Hello and welcome to the Fairy Whispering podcast. I'm your host, Claire Casely. This time I meet with one of my guests from earlier in the year, Sam Meredith, who is a Reiki master, an inspirational, intuitive energy artist, coach and light language channel. My meeting with Sam was part of an adventure to Sussex for a weekend in May. I've recorded a couple of episodes whilst based in Sussex, and this is the first one. More about the other episode at the end. Sam and I decided to explore Chanctonbury Ring together. The ring is shrouded in mystery. It's associated with the Fae. In folklore, the fairies are said to dance at Chanctonbury Ring on Midsummer Eve, and people have claimed to have had UFO sightings and ghostly encounters there. Sam and I decided that we wanted to experience the ring for ourselves. The ring is an Iron Age hill fort, which has an oval embankment. In 1760, Charles Goring, the local landowner of the Whiston estate, planted the ring of beech trees. Many of the trees were blown down in the storms of 1987, giving archaeologists an opportunity to further attempt to date the site. Bronze Age burial mounds have been discovered, including one on the western side of the ring that belonged to an important woman who was buried with grave goods, which included a bronze dagger. One of the local customs says that if you walk 7 times backwards or anti-clockwise around the ring, the devil will appear and offer you soup for your soul. Other versions say other numbers of times. It was a warm, bright day as Sam and I set off on our adventure. We took a steep and meandering path up through the woods to the fort. We were excited about what we would discover along the way. I've incorporated some of my previous guest, Karen Kay's music into this episode too. Thank you to Karen for allowing me to use her music in the podcast. Enjoy this episode and I will come back to you at the end with some closing thoughts.
Fairies fly across the stream. Is this a dream? Is this a dream?
No, it's Claire for Fairy Whispering Podcast. I've met up with the lovely Sam Meredith today, who was on one of my episodes earlier on, talking about fairies in her garden and her work. I've come up to Sussex for the weekend and met with Sam this morning. We've come up to, we're about to walk to Chanctonbury Ring. I had the crazy idea of coming up a pathway that we saw instead of the bridle way, very steep, but it's actually led us to this wonderful beech tree, because the ring is actually surrounded by beech trees. I just see it over in the distance from where we are, but the first huge big tree we've come to is this massive lovely beech tree. It's very twisty, looks like it's corkscrewing up towards the sky, huge limbs, and Sam and I were just talking about it, and Sam was just sharing what she sensed about this tree and this place. Sam, would you like to?
Yeah, so just put my hands on the trunk of the tree, and the first thing I got was visual of, it was actually a night sky and bonfires and people dancing around the fires. Ancient people, feels like a good 2,000-3,000 years ago, maybe older than that even, and celebrating certain seasons, festivals, important occasions to them. And it feels like the tree is sucking up the energy of that time through its roots. It's sort of been imprinted on the soil. I saw that straight away when I connected to it, which is very interesting because I know about the history of this place and it's been historically very significant. But this tree has probably only been here for about 200 or 300 years. So it wouldn't have witnessed that, but it feels like it's the remnants of that history are very much soaked into the soil. But it feels like a place, it feels like a very peaceful place, but it feels like a place of celebration, and it feels very uplifting to be here, but it feels like a very special place.
And you were just sharing, because you shared with me about your interest in archaeology and your past life working in archaeology, which I didn't know about you, but we were just talking about birds are joining in.
The birds have got something to share too.
Yeah, listen to us. About hill forts such as this one, which is chalk.
This is chalk downland, yeah.
Yeah, and you were just saying how imagine it without the trees. And you said something really interesting, which I didn't know, think about before, about hill forts.
How that they could strip them back so you could see the bare chalk, and how the bare chalk would have looked when the ditches were freshly dug, and the bare chalk would have just shone in the sunlight. It would have been very imposing, which obviously would have been deliberate, because if you were someone considering attacking a hill fort, it would have looked all that more imposing and unassailable. So it would have looked really spectacular. I mean, it looks spectacular today from a distance, but it would have looked, with, like you say, without the trees, because the trees were a later addition, it would have looked quite, you would have been able to see it for a long way. And then we've got another hill fort very close by, so you would have been able to see both the hill forts. And when we get up to Chanctonbury, you'll probably be able to see Cissbury Hill Fort, which is the second largest hill fort in England, and they're so close together. So they would have, on the South Downs, you would probably been able to see them from the coast. So, and that's very important, because obviously we had a lot of invasions off the south coast. So being able to be visible and be seen as a, you know, as an unassailable force might have put some people off before they even set foot on the coast.
And that made me think then about the hill fort near me, which is Berry Hill Fort, which is limestone covered in trees, later addition like here. And that, if that was stripped back with the light colour of that stone, it would have stood out as a, like you say, both as to any invaders as a threat, but to anyone seeking sanctuary, it would have been really obvious, wouldn't it, in the landscape.
Well, it would have reflected the light. It would have amplified the light.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the significance of light and the increase of light on the planet at the moment. And isn't it interesting that so many hill forts are now covered in trees? I mean, trees are very beautiful and, you know, guardians often. But isn't it interesting that the light of those places seems to have been, you know, maybe diminished over time? When they would have literally been beacons of light if that rock was, you know, visible for a long distance and the sun shining down on it. That's interesting too.
Yeah, made less obvious.
Yeah.
Like the places where churches are, like, you know, going to Stenning Church with you last night, and, you know, most places where churches are built would have been mounds of varying heights. And I wonder what they used to look like before they were churches and churchyards on them, and would they have been just grassy hills, or would they have been stripped, you know, no grass, or they have been really recognisable places in the landscape. So shall we walk on?
Let's walk up on through. And see what else we pick up on.
Yeah, I'm not going to attempt to record up here because it's incredibly steep.
We're nearly at the top, but it's okay, Claire.
Is this a dream?
We're just in 11:11. We've just arrived up at this amazing meadow. It's so wonderful to be here with you, Sam, and it's such an amazing place. We couldn't believe it, could we, after that walk up the hill? Along the road less travelled, and then we come up to this meadow. We're just surrounded by buttercups and forget-me-nots and the skylarks behind us.
And just the energy up here is phenomenal. I literally just lay down. There's loads of little forget-me-nots, or no, they're like little violets, and I don't know, I think these are lambstail grasses. I don't know all the names, but the energy up here is just amazing. It feels incredibly healing and cleansing up here. It's an ancient site. It's been here since, well, it's been here for longer than this, but it's known to have been had human activity up here since at least 1500 BC. And there's a Bronze Age burial up here, and all sorts of activity over the last couple of centuries. Well, more than a couple of centuries, few hundred centuries. It's an amazing place. And as we were walking up the hill, we were just, the energy was just building, and the energy from the trees is amazing. It's just a very inspiring place to be. There's a reason people make the climb up here, because it's a very steep hill that it's an effort to get up here. And there's a draw. There's a reason why people still come up here, and it's such a popular place with walkers. It's got such an incredible energy, a feeling of vitality, and you can just feel, I was connecting to the trees when we're walking up and getting these visuals of people dancing around fires and celebrating and connecting in family groups and observing festivals and rituals, and it just feels so beautiful up here. And I wouldn't have come up here today if it hadn't been for Claire coming. It's so funny that we've ended up doing this on New Moon, and it wasn't planned.
I didn't even know until yesterday somebody said, oh, it's New Moon. I was like, oh gosh.
Yeah, I was literally just lying on the grass, and Claire and I were saying we could just stay up here all day. It feels so healing and so cleansing.
Sam, you were going to tell a story about the King Alfred's cakes.
Oh gosh, if I can remember it. King Alfred's cakes. We've got some King Alfred's cakes, which they're a type of fungus.
They're a type of fungus that grows on ash trees.
So the story goes that King Alfred, who was the King of Wessex, that would have been about 5th, 6th century AD. He was King of Wessex, and the Danes were invading. And the Saxons had been narrowed down into a small area. I think it was a fenland where they got narrowed down to. There's a small group of Saxon warriors who had survived, and the Danes had taken over the whole of England. And it looked like, you know, things were looking pretty dodgy for King Alfred. And he was asked by a woman, I can't remember exactly where it was in the Fens, but I'm pretty sure it's Fenland, to mind her cakes that she was baking in the oven. And he forgot, and he burnt the cakes. And so you've got the Alfred's cakes, so it's connected to that story. I don't know how true it is. I love the idea of the King of Wessex, who in England is known as the king that was basically the founding father of England. He had the vision of bringing all the, wouldn't it be counties, but all the different kingdoms together. So you have Wessex and Mercia and Northumbria and all the other kingdoms. He had the vision to bring all those peoples together. And actually that feels quite poignant, actually talking about bringing people together. Because he brought lots of different peoples And England at the time was a real melting pot of Saxons and Danes, and you've got Romano British culture in there, and you've got the Welsh and the Scots. And he had this vision of bringing people together and finding ways to bring people together in peace, which involved a lot of battles, but... Yeah. So that's interesting in itself, living at a time where there's a lot of, still feels like there's a lot of division. So that's interesting.
And it was a woman that was buried up here.
It was a woman, yeah, definitely.
Mm. And she was buried with, I'll look that up, she was buried with a dagger or a sword.
Dagger.
Right, because there's a hill on Dartmoor where it's called White Horse Hill, and a few years ago they found the remains of a very important woman. They call her the Dartmoor Princess, and she would have been cremated, and her remains were wrapped in a bear skin. So this goes back to the times when the bears were on Dartmoor, and they found all these beautiful beads that would have been strung together as a necklace, you know, and this very ornate bracelet that was made from nettle stems that have been finely, you know, sort of woven.
Because that's a dying art, isn't it, nettle weaving, because you can make nettles into string and things like that, can't you?
Yeah, and the beads would have been from, you know, the Far East, places like Assyria, Turkey. So it sort of shows that there was ancient trade going on. But the fact that she was buried on a hill and this woman was buried on a hill shows that remnants of this goddess matriarchal culture.
It's interesting how history has been kind of, you could argue, being deliberately written to change that.
Yeah.
To downplay the importance of, you know, women in a leadership role. And I think that would have been much more the case pre-Roman invasion. Women would have had more of a significant role to play in leadership roles. And I think that dynamic changed. I think that really changed with the Romans. I don't think we need to judge that. I just think it's where, you know, where we were socially and culturally at the time. I think it's quite easy to put our values today, our social values today, back on those times in history. And I think we have to be careful. Personally, I think we have to be careful about doing that. Because, you know, times have evolved and changed, and it's just... it's just the way it's gone, it's just what it is, and I don't think we need to judge that wrong.
A midsummer night.
Obviously, it's sort of sorted up over time. It would have been dug a lot deeper.
Yeah. I mean, I was wondering whether these places would have been like islands years and years ago. You know, surrounded by it when the sea was higher, sea levels. These could have been like places of refuge.
Yeah.
A different way for people that people would have sailed to.
That makes sense.
Here we are on the threshold of Sanctum Maria Ring. I'm really excited about going in here. Touch this tree here. Oh, it's got some little violets growing out of it there. Oh no, it's a beech tree. Okay, so there's lots of stories about Canterbury Ring, that it's haunted. People see UFOs here, there's fairies, I guess that's my interest, the fairies. And supposedly if you walk around it seven times, some people say six times, backwards. I've just seen a fairy door to my left. Then I'll go and see that in a moment. Then the devil is supposed to appear and offer you a bowl of soup for your soul. It's quite a big place, so I don't think I'll be doing that today. I can see a smiley face over there. I'll photograph what I can see and share it on my website. Sam and I were going to walk around the outside of the ring, and then we were drawn to the centre, and there's an energy centre that we just doused for, and it's a spiral. So my dousing rods were going around in a spiral. It's very powerful. And then I asked my rods, show me where the fairies are, and it's pointed us along this path where there's some bluebells beside the path. And then Sam noticed this tree with somebody's left some shells that they've painted, and on one of them it says, leave an offering and to receive your three wishes. So I've just left a few dried rose petals and a scattering of bird seed. Sam, do you want to say anything?
Just the energy feels, it's so interesting, the energy feels so different. In the centre here, as we were walking up here, the energy felt very full of vitality and excitement and zest and like a real energy of celebration. And as we walked in here, it feels very peaceful, very soothing, very still. It's just the difference in the energy is quite interesting. And the spiral of energy we felt in the centre was amazing. It was like a corkscrew that was coming up through the ground, up and spiralling up into the sky. And I felt a real sensation of, it was a connection between the earth and the heavens. It feels like it's sort of a point where the earth is closer to the heavens, but it feels like a real connection between the two.
It does. Yeah, I don't want to leave. I mean, it's just such a healing place. And even though there are stories, I don't know the specific stories, but just having a bit of research online last night, apparently there are hauntings here, and people see UFOs here, and lots of nefarious things, as well as fairies. To me, it feels very, very light, fairy sort of energy here. I could well believe there are fairies here, but
it's very uplifting. It doesn't feel heavy. It feels uplifting and cleansing and clearing.
There's no darkness here. I mean, I'd feel perfectly, probably not on my own, but I'd come up with other people on a moonlit night. See another face on a tree over there looking at me. Yeah, it's definitely a presence, but a good presence, a really positive presence.
There's a guardian here, isn't there? You feel there's something protecting this area.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's an awesome place of reflection, I think.
You could do a workshop up here.
Yeah, it would be.
Bring some women up here. And
it feels like a good place to come and write, to come and sit and create.
Yeah.
Just be creative. Whether that be painting or writing or.
Oh, your soul scripts.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I was thinking I should do some light things actually.
Oh, like now?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be great.
I could do it here, or I could go somewhere.
Where do you feel?
I'm thinking with a spiral.
Let's do that before we leave.
Just see what comes through.
Yeah, let's do that. Because I've never not heard you doing that live, so that'd be great.
I can feel as I'm walking back, my head expanding as I'm walking back.
Yeah.
And probably because I've just said I'm going to do light language.
I've got goosebumps.
My heart chakra's just gone. Since I said I'm doing do light language, I feel like all the trees.
Oh look, they're waiting, aren't they?
Oh my goodness me. I really can feel that. My heart has really suddenly gone like massive. I can feel the energy feels so.
Whew. Feeling it in my legs.
My legs have gone quite jelly like.
Okay, you get ready and I'll stand out the wind. Which way is the wind coming?
I'm just going to connect into the energy of this beautiful place, Chanctbury Ring. I feel like I'm connecting into the energy of the trees, the soil, the connection between the earth and the heavens, like my ancestors would have done. I can feel divine feminine energy, lunar energy, connection to the goddess very strongly coming through now. I'm just closing my eyes, I'm just connecting. I'm just going to bring some light language through. My heart is expanding. I can feel the energy flowing up through my legs and is coming out through my heart chakra. And this energy is sent with love for your highest and best good. Remember you are part of it all. And we quayas a rashni arata karata ko open your heart and we karate ya brata korataka ronaya se asa soja ne mokata te asa korataka morata ke mora se kete kara mo ko izana ne le se kazo shkon morata ta rota ta 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 ka so soshna arata ko se mo de tikia mo korata redeya rara se korana mo isaka zinara seka Nora te ke zarate ke rimore te ke ona se sheya. So se sa shaka so kora na mora. Ze shakara ta koi sa na moa ya la ra i se ki ye na mora ta koi na ke sa kara so ko. Hara te ke so kasa na te dia re se kora ta mora te kata te lo shi kodra minte ke ara ta ko sa i se she ke ne ara ta ko shi na la te kara te ki moa. O se she ka moa le ria ka so lo te ki moa ka. Pro ta ki a feel your light. Travel through all dimensions, times and spaces, back down the ancestral line. Remember who you are. Brataki, remember your connection to the earth, to the universe. So we kia sam wai ya take ra te kora te kai mara te ki ya sa sa shane kia ra te ki ya ra. Horania, kore se 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 kara ta ke ya to kora te ka bora te ke te je kora te kora mo kori te ya no mo kia ya ta kara te kore si ki ai ai ta re si ki and this message is sent with love from kui sa la shi ki ya ta kai sa kai sa ro to kore se ke ya na ri ya ta kore ta ka ta ta la shi do to ra she mo ke ti so mo kui sa la shi ki ya ta is mo se sa ra se
That's powerful, and thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
The wind was picking up. It always picks up, I find, when you're doing energetic work. Yeah. And I was seeing faces appearing out of the trees as well.
I could feel everything connecting, waking. It's almost like is here, but it's like that catalyst, that reaching out and remembering and putting yourself back into nature, remembering we're part of it. You know, like we were talking about that last night, how we become so disconnected and being in it and opening your heart to it and being in the energy. As soon as you do that, they want to be part of it with you. They want to they want that connection too, but they want us to want it.
Definitely. Yeah, and I feel really refreshed coming up here. I mean, I've been up, anyone listening to this, I woke up really early this morning because I was just excited to be in. I was excited to be in a different place. And I was saying to Sam, I'm a single mum, parent carer for my lovely daughter and son. But it's tough. It's tough being a single parent. And the opportunity to get away and do things like this for myself is so important. And it's been really wonderful to come somewhere that's quite a drive from my home in Devon, but somewhere totally different and amazing landscape, and meet with Sam. It's such, because we've known each other, we were saying we've known each other about 6 months. Mm. And I was just determined to get here. And it's been a challenge to get here, but I was determined. I was determined to overcome that challenge and just be here and live. You know, we're talking about creating your own reality and how you can push through and change. You can change patterns and old set ways. And it's a bit like being in a sort of a microcosm sort of way. The way that we think we know where we're going and we want to go, and that's the way to go, and then you're pulled in a different direction. You think, I've got to follow that direction. And when you follow it, you discover wild strawberries and amazing old beech trees and an apple tree full of blossom that just smelt so sweet, like roses, and a field of buttercups and forget-me-nots. So follow your hearts. Yeah, thank you for sharing. That's very special, Sam.
My pleasure.
Mm.
Thank you.
Right, we'll find the path out. If the fairies will let us leave. We'll
I feel like they want us to stay, actually.
Yeah, I know. If we had a picnic, we could have just stayed up. The following day, after our Chanctonbury Ring adventure, I met with Sam at Sussex Fairy Festival, and she shared an insight that she'd had the previous evening about our visit to the ring, which seemed to connect with an earlier experience Sam had had in meditation.
Dragonfly flies by, I catch it from the corner of my ear.
The Sussex Fairy Festival today, and I've met up with Sam Meredith and Jim Albrow, and it's a lovely sight, and we've come over, Sam and I have just come to stand by this field of buttercups, so you can hear this music in the background. Various things going on, but Sam had a realization, didn't you, Sam?
I did have a
and
realization.
You might have to explain some of the background as to what led up to it.
So on Claire's podcast, Claire shared a talk with, is it, what's his name? It's Craig, what's his surname?
Craig Whitewood Cam.
That's it, Craig. I should remember that surname. It's an amazing surname. And Craig does these incredible quantum jumping sessions, which he was talking about with Claire on her podcast. And I went along to my first one of these about 3 weeks ago. And my first experience, Craig takes you into a meditative experience where you can connect to different versions of yourself, really, in different timelines. And my first experience was, as I stepped into this different version of me, stepping through a door into an incredible field of buttercups. The energy that hit me was this yellow, incredible yellow energy, and just buttercups as far as the eye could see. And I was chosen to connect into this real free-spirited, open-hearted, relaxed, connected version of me. And there I was in this field of buttercups. So anyway, Claire and I met up yesterday and we went up to Chanctonbury Hill, which is an amazing place near where I live, very special energetic space. And we walked up a very steep hill, got to the top of the hill, and there's this incredible field of buttercups.
there were buttercups and there were wild violets and all sorts of other wildflowers. And we just lay down in these buttercups and we just soaked in the energy. And I didn't realise that Claire had taken some photographs of me lying in the buttercups. And when I got home later, I looked at the pictures and I suddenly realised it was the field of buttercups I'd seen in my quantum jump. And it was just this sudden moment of how you can reach into these different timelines, these different versions of you, and connect with that energy that is you and bring it into this lifetime just by simply focusing your awareness and consciously choosing to connect with that energy and that version of you. And there's so many versions of us out there, and just this amazing reminder that we're these incredible creator beings, and it's just choosing what you focus your energy on, your perspective on, what you choose to connect with, and just having that moment of synchronicity, I guess, of seeing the buttercups and being in the buttercups and being in that. It was very liberating energy. And here we are again, yeah, with a field of buttercups behind us.
And look on the hill, there's two horses that are together on the hill.
There. Yeah.
Oh.
And it just feels so beautiful. It feels so, feels very poignant. It feels very, what's the word, auspicious that Claire and I have come together. Mm. And on, you know, at the time when Claire and I have come together, that all these fibres of all these different experiences and timelines seem to have woven into this amazing experience where I've brought through energy from another timeline at a time where I've met with Claire and we're connecting into this fairy energy, and it just feels, it feels awesome. So it was, yeah, a lovely experience to be able to share.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that experience. I too feel like I've met another version of myself since I've been up here, because the lady that I stayed with the other night in my Airbnb, she's also called Claire, and she's an art teacher in Brighton. Now, I used to be an art teacher. So it's just almost like meeting another version of myself that continued to be an art teacher and ended up living in Brighton, in Sussex. That's what it felt like. So, yeah, there's so much more to this universe than we realise. Like Sam says, just got to keep our hearts open. Thank you for listening to the end of the Fairy Whispering podcast. My closing thoughts this time come from Sam Meredith, who recorded a message for her community whilst we were at Chanctonbury Ring. I thought her words were a very fitting close to this episode. Next time on the Fairy Whispering podcast, we return to Sussex, where I meet with Jem Albrow and listen to her encounters with fairies in her garden. It's a fascinating share. Join me on the 4th of October for the continuation of my fairy adventures in Sussex.
Well, for me, I just wanted to say keep stepping out. It feels really appropriate on the new moon as well. Keep stepping out. Keep having the courage to follow your heart, listen to your heart, shine your light. Because when you shine your light with love, with openness, with authenticity, the people that match your vibration can see you. And you meet the most incredible people. And I feel truly blessed to have been able to meet people like Claire. And we were saying last night that I've only known Claire, we've known each other for about 6 months.
Yeah, feels like longer.
We feel like we've known each other for forever. And
yeah,
and I think that's what happens. You stop feeling alone, you stop feeling like you're in this world and misunderstood and everything feels difficult and painful and challenging. And yeah, you still have the challenges, but you begin to develop an understanding about who you are on a deeper level, and you meet these people that help amplify those feelings inside you, that help you to find your place in the puzzle of the universe. And it just creates the most expansive opportunities, the most exciting opportunities. So keep shining, keep reaching out, so that the people that will really lift you up can see you and find you. Shine your light, yeah. Reach out, be you, be brave, be authentically you, and don't worry about the people that don't get you. It's okay, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. We're not here to
so that everyone can get us. We don't need to change ourselves to fit in. It's time to really shine and connect with those people that really light us up more, so we can shine even brighter, so that we can raise the vibration, so that we can live our most expansive, most incredible, most amazing lives and get to do these amazing, wonderful things.
See you next time, and remember to keep your heart open and to be the change.
Stars in the sky, twinkle way up high, I want to cry with joy. A midsummer night's dream.